Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And today on this Sunday is going to be a hot topic. Christopher John Yerkes is with me today, author of Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik and Zionist, Premonitions of the Holocaust, The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians, Putin's Reign of Terror, Einstein's Racism Exposed, and more. Now, folks, before we get into this interview, I want to let you know that the second part of the show, we're going to open up the call lines. I want to be completely transparent with you. I know I have a lot of listeners and some who I dearly care about who seem to, you know, they're opposed to Christopher's research. And I want there to be a civil dialogue, an open dialogue between people. I would like for you, if you're interested, to call in the second part of the show. Wait in at 1-800-313-9443. Be respectful. Lay your questions. Pull no punches and be civil. And let's dig into this, because for a long time I've had a lot of questions, of course, about history in general. But the official story to everything. And there's a reason for that. So, Christopher, welcome to the show. It's wonderful to have you here with me, bro.
Thank you so very much for inviting me, and I look forward to speaking to your listeners.
Oh, I hope so, because, you know, I have it's no secret. I am a absolute limited government, if any at all, type of conservative. I'm an anti-federalist, really, if it comes down to it. We have this problem with the cult of personalities that I see, whether it be Obama, whether it be Trump, whether it be Reagan, whether it be Hitler, whether it be Stalin. And these cult of personalities, it seems to intoxicate people into doing many, many things that they probably shouldn't do. And I mean all big government. I certainly criticize my own. And if I'm to criticize my own and I can't criticize others, there's a problem. So, anyway, you were recently on No More News with Adam Green. I saw that presentation. It was good, but it's very interesting to me, Chris, and I think that you've noticed this as well. There seems to be these wave of troll attacks for any conservative, especially, who would challenge certain narratives. It comes almost instantly with having you on someone's show.
Well, maybe that's the greatest commendation for my work that I could possibly have.
Yeah, maybe so. So, you know, there's apparently a lot of folks that have been listening to me over the course of time that, of course, I am no fan of Bolshevism whatsoever. And the Hegelian dialectic, it seems to me, of World War II was two totalitarian governments pitting off against each other. I believe that my heart just bleeds for the German people, what they endured, what they went through, and what they're still going through to this day. East Germany, I mean, just with the Stasi, and might as well called it half of it the Soviet Union and half the Soviet Union light, the American side. So what are your theories as to the origins of, I mean, let's get right into it. Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik and Zionist, your book, the title is a gut puncher to a lot of people. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you mentioned the face-off between Hitler and Stalin that was completely contrived and was established so that Hitler would march all the way to Moscow, gain access to the 3 to 6 million Jews in that part of Europe so that he could concentrate them for deportation to Palestine. And then the plan, which was fulfilled, was that at that point, the war would turn around and Stalin would chase Hitler all the way back to Berlin, and in the process, conquer each and every nation that Hitler had invaded and make it a part of the Soviet Union. Now, that all began long before Stalin came to power. It was Erich Ludendorff, who was a famous World War I general. Essentially, he was a military dictator over Germany during World War I. And he sent Lenin into Russia with a trainload of gold and Jewish Bolsheviks to take over the revolution. And he also sent Adolf Hitler into Anton Drexler's German Workers' Party to take it over. So Ludendorff created that whole dialectic, and then Ludendorff pitted Hitler and Lenin against one another.
Well, that seems to me the way the elites have worked for a very long time. And, you know, there are some people that, you know, have gotten back to me. I posted one of your videos to my channel, and they just think that, well, first of all, they brought up your Jewish heritage and how you're trying to obfuscate and take credit away from a lot of the great things that Adolf Hitler. Look, you know, Ronald Reagan said a lot of really great things too, but if people really knew the truth about Ronald Reagan, Little Red Ronnie, you know, what is one of the most famous things he said? And I use this as an example. What are the 9 most feared words he has? I'm from the government and I'm here to help. He presented himself as a limited government conservative, but he was nothing of the sort. Foreign wars and clandestine wars and drug running and everything else. And people like to paint this picture of this dad who just, you know, George Bush was doing all these evil things and dad didn't know anything about it. It was his son sneaking out of the room. Ah, come on. It's just, to me, naivety in government is what leads to millions of people dying and continuously over and over again. War is a racket. Smedley Butler wrote that book, and I think it's a great book. So tell us, can you give us a little bit of the background to your evidence that you're presenting? Because there are people that disagree, but I would like them to be able to refute something solid. So you said this was a created Hegelian situation. What evidence do we have to support that?
Well, Hitler entered politics as a staunch communist. When he got back from the war after he was injured in a gas attack, he participated in the Bavarian Revolution that was carried out by the socialist Jew Kurt Eisner. Mm-hmm. And he supported Eisner. Mm-hmm. And when Eisner was assassinated, he marched in Eisner's funeral parade wearing a black armband to mourn Eisner and a red armband to show that he was a socialist. Then Eisner was replaced by a man named Hoffman, who was soon replaced by a communist Jew named Ernst Toller. And Hitler, under Eisner, had been a socialist propagandist in the soldiers' councils. And the soldiers' councils are actually the soldiers' Soviets. The same word for council and Soviet is used in German and Russian.
Right.
So Hitler was a dedicated communist. He showed his stripes, literally. And then he ran for re-election again in the Bavarian Soviet Republic, which was officially a communist government, as a propaganda liaison, propagandizing the German military to become communist.
And we have evidence of this?
Oh, we have absolute proof of it. It's not controversial. That's why none of my critics ever bring it up. Then, under an even more radical Leninist who knew Lenin and was an agent of the Soviet Union, Eugen Levine and Tobias Axelrod, he again served them as a propaganda liaison. And Douglas Reed, thank you, Adam Green, for pointing this out to me. Douglas Reed said that he was told by Ernst Röhm's associate that Hitler was arrested among the bodyguards for Eugen Levine, the most radical Jewish communist in all of Germany and head of the Bavarian Soviet Republic. So evidently Hitler was not only a propaganda liaison, he was a bodyguard for this Leninist Jewish communist.
Mm. You know, there are so many questions that I had about, first of all, I kind of side with Patton, which is very interesting how they snuffed him out. They wouldn't let him come back to the United States. I believe Patton thought we were fighting the wrong enemy. And I know certainly that siding with the devil will win you know victories. And if anybody could explain to me the logic between a nation like the United States, who was allegedly fighting communism, to side with the Soviet Union in anything, it does not seem to me to be reasonable. And some of the things that occurred that we know about now, and some people are calling, you know, propaganda, like immediately following World War II, both Russia and the United States, now declassified documents from the CIA and FBI, show that they realized that Adolf Hitler had escaped to Argentina, South America. And this is in, you know, this is now declassified documents from the FBI. And some people are going, well, that's just propaganda. They wanted people to think. No, the United States wanted Hitler dead publicly, politically. So did the Soviet Union. And through back channels and intelligence reports.
May I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Soviet Union actually did not want Hitler dead. There were two Soviet contrived plans to assassinate Adolf Hitler, and they had Soviet agents in place, including Martin Bormann, who was Hitler's personal secretary, and Heinrich Müller, who was the head of the Gestapo, both Soviet moles. And Stalin ordered that both of those assassination attempts be canceled.
You know, good point. And I think what I meant by wanted him dead politically, I mean publicly. Publicly dead. And because the Hegelian dialectic or false flag operations, when anyone's playing a patsy, that's on the lowest level, doesn't mean that they're not going to protect and take care of said patsy. But
they
politically
disappeared.
Right. That's my how I took it. And this is something. Look, this is to me history. You know, I'm an anti-Zionist. I really oppose Israel and just about everything the state stands for, theologically, politically. I don't hate people because of their DNA, but it's their behavior, ideologies cause people to do things, and those things are the things that I reject. The absolute the open air prison that's going on in Gaza. The subjugation, and you know, I see this pattern in history of the same behavior. So I look at the same behavior, and I look at the people that are playing that agenda. You know, I know that it may make people mad, but without Adolf Hitler, would Israel even exist?
Well, according to Edwin Black, who wrote the book The Transfer Agreement, probably not. It was Adolf Hitler and the transfer agreement, which transferred large numbers of professional, highly educated German Jews to Palestine, as well as their assets,
mm-hmm.
that enabled them to lay the foundations for the state. And the Nazis in 1933 publicly stated that the solution to the Jewish question was the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine. And they did all they could to fulfill that.
Yeah,
despite the fact that was giving their supposed enemy exactly what their enemy had wanted for 2,500 years.
That's exactly what my biggest thing that bothers me to the core of my being is that does not compute to me. It does not make sense to me if it were authentic. And that's where my questions began. And then I found myself onto your work, and I've read different sections. I wish I had... Everybody knows what I've been through. The past couple years have been a little rough, but I finally have some time now to sit down and do some reading again. And I'm sitting down with Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik and Zionist. And I really honestly and genuinely want to start a dialogue with people who And look, you know, if I'm right or you're right, or if you're wrong and I'm wrong, I'd like people to have that conversation. Now, it automatically goes now to this internet trolling environment. Oh, he's a shill, and he's shilling for the ADL. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I have never seen more ADL behavior attacking folks like Adam Green and Chris and myself. You know, folks that pretend to be your friend, that you offer shelter to. It's amazing the behavior patterns of certain individuals. And I'm going to bring it straight up and address it real quickly, because it gained some traction. Like with, oh my God, I can't believe I just went blank with that individual. What's his name? Brendan. Oh yeah. Brendan. People like Brendan O'Connell, and I bring this up not to attack Brendan specifically, but to illustrate something. Brendan O'Connell asked me to have him link him up with Dr. Alan Sobroski. I'm sorry I did it now, because he's turned on both me and Dr. Sobroski and Adam Green and many other people. He tries to say that we are supporters of Alex Jones when absolutely nothing could be further from the truth. He used an example of a documentary that I did a tribute to in an interview with Chris Emery of A Noble Lie regarding the Oklahoma City bombing, showed SPLC involvement, another Jewish communist organization, in my opinion. And he's apparently any mention of AR-15s or guns in his videos gets his videos immediately taken down, even though the same content, the exact duplicated content on my channel, does not. So it's the anti-gun. Let's see if we can go walk down a list. And it's not just Brendan. It's so many more. He just happens to be one of the more popular names. So you have anti-gun, pro hate speech. That's something else that was claimed that he had no problem with. Pro hate speech legislation, anti National Socialist, anti-goose-stepping, if you have anything to do with goose-stepping, yet you come out with Adolf Hitler, Bolshevik, and Zionist, and those very people that are allegedly anti-this and anti-that immediately zero in on your six. I want to know why that is. That seems to me, everything that I've studied from the behavior of ADL operatives, that's a big red flag for me. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. And the reason is that it kills their whole Holocaust narrative. They can no longer use the Holocaust as a brickbat to slam anybody, because it was Jewry itself who created Adolf Hitler.
Right.
And what are these great things that Adolf Hitler accomplished? The whole of Eastern Europe was handed over to Stalin, and Palestine was handed over to the Jews. So I don't see why they admire Adolf Hitler when he accomplish for the Jews exactly what he pretended to oppose.
No, he said a lot of really great things, just like,
He built up the German economy. But why was he allowed to build up the German economy? It was so that he could arm up to create this massive war, which would so weaken Eastern Europe and the Western democracies that they could fall victim to Bolshevism.
And they did.
Edvard Beneš, the president of Czechoslovakia, said in 1936, 3 years before the war began, that Hitler would begin World War II, and that the Soviet Union would chase Hitler back and march up, and Czechoslovakia would share a border with the Soviet Union. So it was obviously planned, and it was planned by the Soviets, not by Hitler. Hitler was simply a Soviet mole. And this was very typical of Leninist and Soviet behavior at the time. Vladimir Lenin created a program called the Trust, in which he would send out controlled opposition agents to take over every anti-communist organization in the world. And that's exactly what Adolf Hitler was did.
All right, folks, we'll be back after a break. Christopher John Bjerknes, RTR Truth Media Radio on Republic Broadcasting. Yeah, how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. Distribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Lacavera Stewart, RTR Truth Media, Resurrectory Public Radio Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Christopher John Bjerknes. And a really interesting show today. We only have an hour, but I do want you guys to, if you have any questions, if you have any challenges, be respectful. Call in at 1-800-313-9443. You know, and look, ultimately, in the scheme of things, I think that these things are very, very interesting subjects. I don't really fundamentally believe that they're going to change how we see or deal with the state of Israel today, right? So I've had a lot of comments saying, oh, this is subversion and Christopher is Jewish and he's trying to muddy the water. Well, you know, Israel's acting completely as a completely totalitarian fascistic Bolshevik state. Nothing in history is going to change that to not being so. Nothing is going to change any of our aversion to what we see going on with Israeli influence in American politics, especially. As an American constitutional conservative, I don't believe that any foreign nation should have influence over our nation in any way. And if they have any kind of foundation or organization, they should be registered as a foreign agent. That, by the way, helped get one of our presidents killed. So, you know, this argument, Chris, that somehow this information harms the opposition to this Jewish Talmudic Bolshevik fascistic communistic whatever you want to call it going on in Israel, and it's an infiltration of what I see happening that happened in Germany prior to World War II happening in the United States today. I don't think anything is going to change that in these details. Is that not true?
That's absolutely true. It actually has the opposite effect. It opens up a discussion as to why World War II occurred, and did it give Israel a legitimate right to exist, or was it planned to create Israel?
Well, you know,
Of Israel being fascist, Jabotinsky was a revisionist Zionist. He wore brown shirts and mimicked the Nazis. The uniforms were almost indistinguishable. In Nazi Germany from 1933 to 1939, the Zionists were the only political party allowed to wear their own uniforms. They were the only group that was allowed to fly its own non-Nazi flag. And they were the only group to publish a political party organ newspaper that was non-Nazi. They had all kinds of privileges. The Nazis chased out Catholics and utilized their property for training grounds for Zionist pioneers.
Wow. You know, I hear this said a lot, and I like to clarify things when I hear them, and a little red flag goes up for me whenever I hear this expression, right to exist, Israel. Israel, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, is not a biblical people. It is a corporate state. It is a corporation. No corporation has the right to exist. So this association that has turned itself into a corporation called Israel is not a biblical people, because first of all, there was more than one tribe. I think everybody kind of knows that story. And there's theological debates we could have for, you know, years and years over the details. I say the broken covenant, you know, even by their own theology, I believe that they defeat themselves. They're just very clever. The Talmud gives 101 exceptions around. It's kind of like what we see Congress doing with the Constitution today. Shall not be infringed is very clear. So what they do is they use commerce, the Commerce Clause, to go around what shall not be infringed. So it's kind of like reading the Talmud is watching Congress do what they do to go around these restrictions that we place on government. Well, it's no different. The Pharisees were no different. God placed these so-called restrictions. But if you're part of the tribe or you're part of the club, it says here in the Talmud, the expressions of the rabbis that, well, you can do this and you can do that and you can do that because, well, these people aren't really people. They're animals. They're called goyim. And so it's okay to do it to them because that's not what it means here. It's sick. It's evil, it's twisted, it's deception. That's what I have a problem with.
And in terms of the Palestinians, when they say that the Israelis have a right to exist, they amplify that to mean that they have a right to commit genocide against the Palestinians because supposedly genocide was committed against them, even though the Palestinians played no part in what Adolf Hitler did.
Yeah.
And in terms of the right to exist, they pretend that because of the Holocaust, they need Israel to safeguard themselves. But the reality is that the Holocaust was artificially manufactured by Jews to chase them to Palestine.
Yeah, can we kill this break? This is, thanks. I don't have that much time with you, and I want to try and let you finish your thought there.
So it was actually the Jews were persecuted in Europe deliberately by the big Jews who put Adolf Hitler and Stalin into power to create an incentive to create the Jewish state, because the Jewish people had started to assimilate into European societies.
Mm-hmm. And they started enjoying what they had there in European societies.
See, and they had no desire to go to Palestine.
Yeah,
the Zionists knew that, and in 1896, Theodor Herzl published a book called The Jewish State, and he created the transfer agreement in that book 37 years before Adolf Hitler came to power. So it was a plan that they already had, and they simply utilized Adolf Hitler to fulfill that plan. That does not give them a right to exist. That shows that they should not exist because they created all this mayhem in order to fulfill this plan.
You know, Theodor,
the persecution of the Jews.
Theodor Herzl said himself, you know, the anti-Semites will be our absolute best friend. And
he said exactly that. They will be our best friends, and we will utilize anti-Semitic governments to establish a transfer agreement whereby the people and the assets of the Jews will be transferred from Europe to Palestine.
And that's the prize that people don't understand. The goal, the agenda was the creation of the State of Israel. When people look at World War II, they say, oh, it was to prevent the invasion of Europe and to prevent this. No, World War II was to create Israel. Period.
Absolutely.
Beginning
and to expand
end
the
Great
Soviet
Britain,
Union.
From the political prostitutes in Great Britain to Germany, to Soviet Union. 80% of the immigrants, we have the CIA documents that came off of Truman's desk. I did a report on the end of last year. I just read through all of these CIA reports of the presidential daily briefing reports. And the president gave this beautiful speech on how he just embraced Chaim Weizmann. And what a wonderful way. He had kind of resisted. He wanted to stay out of it because, you know, that is the American way, is non-intervention. We were supposed to stay out of this stuff, right? So he gave the words. I tried to stay out of it, didn't want to do it. And then finally I had this meeting with Chaim Weizmann. All the while, this son of a bitch had coming across his desk that 80% of the immigrants coming into Palestine, not only were they Bolsheviks, but the Arabs were crying out saying, we're being overrun by communists. And we did nothing but support it.
And Hitler did nothing but support it. The Grand Mufti opposed this Jewish emigration that the Nazis were sponsoring.
Yeah.
And it was established, the Jews offered the Nazi hierarchy, not Hitler. Hitler was a part of the plan all along and was a willing member of the group. Mm-hmm. But they needed to convince the Nazis, who were not Soviet moles, that it was in their best interest to agree to this transfer agreement that Herzl engineered 37 years before it happened. And the way they did that was there was a grassroots movement among the Jews to boycott Germany. And Germany was very vulnerable at the time, and Hitler's power was very vulnerable. They'd gone through a succession of like four different chancellors in a two-year period. And if unemployment increased in Germany, Hitler would have been out for sure. All the big Jews and the Jewish bankers and the Zionists opposed the boycott and prevented it from organizing and becoming international and deposing Hitler. And they said to one another in their correspondence that they wanted Hitler to remain in power and that they needed to bolster the Nazi economy in order to create the conditions for the transfer agreement. They needed to preserve the value of the Reichsmark. So when they transferred Jewish assets from Germany to Palestine, they would have some value.
And it was their own people, man.
It was the Jews who kept Hitler afloat. When the grassroots movements to boycott Hitler were put in place. And it was the Jews who financed Hitler and Nazism in that way to ensure that he would succeed. They wanted Hitler in power, and they openly said so.
Yeah. And, you know, it blows my mind today that some of your staunchest critics advocate for military generals saving America.
And they are cheerleaders for Vladimir Putin, who was a career KGB agent and became director of the FSB.
Yeah.
He's a dyed-in-the-wool, diehard communist trying to spread perpetual revolution around the world.
Yeah, I can't believe
anybody
trusts
him. And Hitler was supposedly opposed to Bolsheviks and communists. So how can they support Hitler believing he was genuine and at the same time be cheerleaders for Vladimir Putin? It again shows the communist Nazi farce, that the communists create Nazis so that they have a controlled opposition that they can oppose and portray themselves as if champions of freedom and the Jews.
Yeah. Well, there is no government that exists on this planet that I trust, but certainly the ones that I trust the less are ones that disarm, ones that silence. Look at what's going on in Germany now. I mean, just look how subjugated the German people are now.
Look how subjugated I am. My videos get taken down on YouTube, but the cheerleaders for Adolf Hitler who criticize me get put at the top of the list when you search for my name on YouTube. My videos criticizing Hitler get black screened and deleted, but the videos supporting Hitler against me get promoted by YouTube. That's a tell right there as to who is really behind and working together with organized Jewry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So one of the questions that was brought up to me was the history of your background. And for some people, look, I was born and raised Italian and Scottish. I was born Catholic, and some people have me as a, you know, because I have a distant family member who's a Knight of Malta. They have me as a Jesuit and a Knight of Malta and all this other nonsense. You know, I rejected the Catholic Church. Look at the folks like Benjamin Friedman. When I get these folks that come onto my channel that say, they have a position that if you dare support anyone with any kind of history of Jewish heritage in their background, that you're a shill and blah 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 blah. And it's just this to me
it's
is a killing
fallacy of ad hominem attack. If they could actually prove anything that I said was inaccurate or illogical, they would do that. But since they cannot do that, they try to attack me as a person.
Right. They're doing the same thing to me. They're doing the same thing to Adam Green. And they're using lies, too, like perpetual, consistent lies. One of the ones that are going out against Adam Green is that he's in lockstep with that guy running for Patrick Little. He had him on a show like once or twice or something like that. Adam and I have since sat back and talked and decided that his behavior is literally textbook ADL.
And that's what Adam told me as well. And he said he came out with that immediately after Patrick Little started putting up signs that said Jews
rape babies kids. In the middle of a lagoon.
And that was, he denounced that long before all these other people start to tie him in with Patrick Little.
But it's funny
how completely disingenuous, as you say, they're absolute liars.
Yeah,
and
they're
they
liars.
Don't attempt to refute us on factual basis or logical basis. It's all ad hominem attacks based on lies.
Yeah, and they repeat the same lie over and over and over and over and over again. And I use this as an example. People have to really critically think when they hear these people who are criticizing, because as I read through some of these comment sections, people are seem to be mindless drones. They're like, oh my God, I didn't realize.
They get the memo. They have a prepared list. You'll notice that all the trolls who attack me and attack Adam have the same talking points. And it's typical Hasbara behavior, and it's typical Russian troll behavior. And the Russians are absolutely against me because I reveal the fact that Vladimir Putin supports terrorism and is a KGB communist, not our ally, not our friend, and not our savior.
Yeah.
And they also hate me because I'm proving that Adolf Hitler was serving Stalinism. They strongly do not want that to be exposed, because then the Soviet communist state will also be held to account for World War II and the persecution of the Jews.
Yes. You know, and one of the things that I want to make is I really want to make this point today. I want to drive it home into people's minds is that, you know, just because a messenger that we either suspect or don't trust or whatever says something true. Okay. If Alex Jones, for instance, said the sky is blue, it does not make, because Alex Jones said it, the sky any other color than blue. Now, that
and also
said,
someone you admire, just because they say something doesn't make it true because you admire them. You have to be critical of everyone.
Absolutely.
But you have to be logically critical, and
right.
you have to not be an ad hominem smearmonger. You have to address what is said, and if you have a disagreement with it, point out the basis of your disagreement, not your hatred of that person or admiration of that person.
Exactly. One of the things that has been leveled at Adam, He's really actually working with InfoWars. Dude, I mean, it's enough to make your brain hurt when they repeat this lie over and over and over again. And then as a, because I'm closely associated with Adam, it started with me with like I told you, the A Noble Lie, which was a film by Chris Emery. And it exposed the cover up of the entire Oklahoma City bombing and how Timothy McVeigh was likely sheep dipped. I mean, there's evidence that shows that SPLC were in Elohim City while it was being planned. The same kind of thing that we see again, if you look to 9/11, you have Israeli Mossad that are arrested on scene with foreknowledge of the event, but the event is allowed to take place. Well, the same thing with Oklahoma City. There's people, there's informants from the SPLC, the ATF and FBI that have foreknowledge, but it's still allowed to happen. It's not foreknowledge, it's planning. Is what it is.
Yeah, and they were always promoting William Pierce's books, which laid the groundwork for that whole Oklahoma City bombing, and Pierce is known to have been involved with the FBI.
Right, and
violence is absolutely the stupidest thing to do in politics. And
You should
be the most civil.
But the most glaring illustration of this is, didn't you know that Timothy McVeigh was part of a white supremacist group? And wouldn't it be a white supremacist group that would use as its calling cry, its reason for existence as to for revenge for the Branch Davidian compound takeout of the federal government? By the way, the Branch Davidian compound that was multiracial. Now, I don't know about you. I know some white supremacists, and they certainly wouldn't have anything to do with that type of thing, with advocating for or finding justice in the destruction of what they consider to be mongrels.
There was a precedent for that, too, that's very interesting, with Mark Lane and the Jim Jones temple down, I think, in Venezuela, where they drank the Kool-Aid and committed mass suicide. He was a socialist, a Marxist, and he was preaching Marxism and multiculturalism back in the 60s and 70s. And he had homosexual black lovers. And the CIA was deeply involved in everything he did.
You know, I often say, and people can get mad at me. I know that I have friends that I guess I'm going to agree to disagree on this issue. But, you know, I think that what Germany actually really needed was a Thomas Jefferson or a Patrick Henry or a George Washington, maybe. I know that a lot of those stories that we're told to are a bit blown out of proportion. But in essence, not maybe in so factual reality, you know, big totalitarian governments, nothing good ever comes of them, because government is the utilization of force upon a people. And you know, there are governments in history that have been better than others. But I ultimately think that as limited and restricted a government by its own people as possible is the way to go. And this is what kind of led me down.
And you have to have freedom of speech and the right to bear arms.
Absolutely, and without
and Hitler
those,
absolutely forbade freedom of speech.
Yeah, and without
even
those,
the government,
you do not have freedom. And if you do not have freedom, I don't care what the government, what great things they have to say. You know, it's just I don't know. I'm so torn over this because I didn't really realize that I had, you know, some of my friends like felt really strongly about this. Like, they think that Adolf Hitler's being smeared. I'm like, Whoa, wait a minute.
Look at Ronald Reagan and the neoconservatives. Leo Strauss at the University of Chicago created the theory that politicians have a moral right to lie to get into office and then completely subvert the message that they utilize to get into power to follow their own agenda.
Oh, well, that's ancient, though.
Absolutely. That was one of the fundamental beliefs of the neoconservative. So why are people surprised that Reagan was a double speaking snake, but not surprised that Hitler was a double speaking snake, when the result of everything that Hitler did was to give the Jews exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, the cult of personality is such a dangerous thing, and we see it today with Trump, and we saw it with Obama.
Like, they build up Clinton. Excuse me very much for interrupting, but
go.
they build up the cult of personality as controlled opposition by telling people what they want to hear. That's why these people admire Hitler, because he told them what they,
wanted to hear. Yes.
And they don't look at what the man actually did. He called himself a nationalist, but he created a vast international empire that he wanted to spread around the world. That is not nationalism, that's internationalism. He was a complete hypocrite. He said he opposed Marxism, but he completely embraced socialism, and he said that National Socialism was based on Marxism.
Yeah, you know...
Joseph Goebbels said that Vladimir Lenin was the second greatest man in the world next to Hitler.
Ah, God. It's mind-blowing. Folks, if you want a challenge, here's your opportunity. I know you all are out there listening. I know you are. I can see you guys. I know you're there. So if you want to call in, 1-800-313-9443, ask some questions, challenge some points, and don't anyone dare say, call name call or ad hominem attack or whatever it is that you do without calling in to challenge. Because that only makes you guys part of the problem if you're not willing to do so. So 1-800-313-9443. If you want to call in, please do. Feel free to address any subject related to Christopher's work as you'd like. We will not accept troll calls. So anyway, I put it out there. It's up to them now. If you know, I know that the heat is going to come, and I welcome it. I always want good dialogue, and you know, if anybody can prove any of these assertions of facts of evidence incorrect, I'd really love for them to do so. You know, but I've long had a serious problem with much of the official narrative, and it's I don't mean in the demonization of Hitler. They did need a good boogeyman. They created such a good boogeyman with him. And what they did was the entire struggle of the German people got thrown under the bus with all of it. They were literally under a cultural, economic, and literal just theological attack from all
Moses
sides.
Moses Hess, the founder of political Zionism in the 1860s, I believe it was, wrote a book called Rome and Jerusalem. And he declared war on the German people in that book and said that there had to be a war of extermination between the Jews and the Germans. And the way they accomplished that was by putting Adolf Hitler in power and then perpetually vilifying the German people ever since. Huh. And again, they're using Vladimir Putin to destroy Europe with massive immigration through Angela Merkel, who was one of those Stasi agents you were talking about from East Germany,
yeah,
and is friends with Vladimir Putin and pretends to be his opposition, but leads Germany down the garden path into communism and the continual destruction of the German people. They are trying to breed the German people out of existence, and they have been trying to exterminate the German people for a very, very long time, and Moses Hess declared the war on the German people.
And they're accomplishing their goals. Also, some of our critics, will talk about this. You know, look, I went on Red Ice, Henrik Palmgren. I don't agree with Red Ice with everything, but that doesn't mean... See, this is, again, a guilt by association thing, that if you go on someone else's show, you believe everything that they believe.
Changing the subject, because they can't address you. They address somebody else and then try to change the subject to them instead of you and vilify you in the process.
Right. So
just the way they do with the German people with Adolf Hitler. They try to associate the German people with Adolf Hitler when Adolf Hitler was actually an agent of Jewry.
Right. So what we have going on all over the world, I mean, Europe, especially in the United States, is this attack on white people. Now, I judge everybody by the content of their character. That's how I get to know someone. However, that being said, like I was telling Henrik, you know, I feel compelled to defend because I'm in a demographic of white people from the likes of people like Barbara Spector and these people pushing this multicultural agenda, when they're so blatant and so absolutely blatant as to like tweet out things like end whiteness. Okay. When individuals are out there that are set like the Kalergi plan with the deliberate attack upon an objective, and I'm part of that objective, I have no choice but to defend it. That doesn't make me a white supremacist or a white nationalist or whatever other ism that they want to throw at it. It just makes me someone who can critically think and see we have an attacker, right? It's very simple.
And we also have divergent interests.
Yes, yes.
So black people have their interests, and God bless them for it. White people have their interests, and God bless us for that. Yep. Why are we not allowed to assert what is in our best interest? And why is it immoral for us to act in our own interests? It is not. Human beings from the beginning have survived in these groups, and these groups exist today because they perpetuated their own self-interest and best interest. That's normal human conduct. That's legal human conduct.
That's a good point.
Anyone who is trying to obstruct that is a genocidal enemy.
Yes. Yeah, and that is a very good point. And, you know, it doesn't make people that, like, you know, one of the things psychologically, I look at how the American people have been manipulated. And one of those things that happened around Charlottesville that I find, you know, just so blatant to me is that, you know, Trump, and I'm no fan I don't like the cult of personality with any great leader. So I'm not in it for them. So let's take Trump, though. He was criticized horribly for saying that there were good people on both sides and bad people on both sides of that incident, which is probably one of the most accurate statements that you could give regarding that situation, right? Because there was controlled opposition, and there was all kinds of provocateurism, and
he is the president. He has to represent all Americans.
Right.
And that is what he was doing in that statement.
Right.
He was representing both sides as Americans exercising their rights of free speech.
Right. But we now see that because there was a faction of what people call white nationalists, that automatically, you know, oh, he gave them a pass and he was calling them good people. You know, the white nationalists say this, 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 and this. I may disagree with them on one point and agree with them on three. It doesn't make me a white nationalist. It doesn't make you something. It's just, I go by facts. And here's a fact. People like Barbara Spector and Hayek and all of these multicultural pushing organizations in their brains want to destroy what they see as an enemy, which are white people.
And it's been that enemy ever since Rome, and even before that, the Greeks. The Maccabees went after the Greeks because the Greeks.
How do I not have to find myself in a position to defend?
Trying to eliminate your ability to defend yourself by stigmatizing you.
Right.
Because the stigma of anti-Semite no longer works anymore. They want to use alt-right and white nationalist as the new stigma so that they can have other groups than simply Jews reject you and refuse to listen to whatever it is you say once you've been labeled with that stigma.
Oh, they have these robot cultural Marxists that are just so absolutely programmed to respond with idiocy. It feels like I'm living in Idiocracy some days when I wake up. I swear I even, you know, I have to push myself along to get things done just in that world, because
I have been speaking out against the white nationalists for a decade and a half because of the beliefs they held that I disagree with, and because I know that they have largely been co-opted by both the KGB and the FBI.
Sure.
And yet I get called a white nationalist by people who parrot my work and are aware of the fact that I have been a staunch critic of the white nationalist movement for those reasons. It is a co-opted, subverted movement that is not working in the best interests of anyone except for Jewry.
two of the really popular ones were eventually found out to be led by what they end up admitting to be Jews. I think that's kind of funny. I forget the names of them now. I don't keep track of this stuff, man. I really don't, because maybe I should, but it's kind of like these fake terrorists what was his name? Adam can recall these names like left and right. Perlman, who played the role of a jihadi, and death to America and all of that. And then you have these other idiots from Israel calling in hundreds and hundreds of threats to synagogues and Jewish religious centers, of course, an Israeli Jew himself, you know. So there was the ADL still reports on this, I don't know how many 100% rise in anti-Semitism, and they still attribute the statistics from this idiot.
Pattern of creating atrocity propaganda goes way back for Jewry. They did it initially against the Egyptians, saying that the Egyptians were persecuting their people. But in modern times, they used atrocity propaganda against the Tsar of Russia to institute boycotts against Russia. And now they're trying to prevent people from boycotting Israel. So they're complete hypocrites.
Yeah, they are. Absolute hypocrites. Now, and what is a boycott? Now, this is something, here is something glaring that I use as a blunt tool to try and wake up Christian Zionists. Where is it in your constitution or in your belief system that you must buy something, says the government? And if you don't buy said something that the government says that you buy, then you're a criminal. And to me, these neoconservatives that can sit there and look, I know that the primarily the BDS movement, you will find it. Adam and I talked about this when he went to Palestine. Marxism has infected the minds of these Arabs, and I don't know how they can embrace this, because the tenets of this LGBTQ allies, homosexuality, is the absolute antithesis to anything Islamic. It is, according to Islam, if you're gay, you should be thrown off a building or stoned, or I mean, and that is it. That is Islam, and I don't necessarily, I mean, I don't agree with the reasons behind it. I think it's a little extreme to be, you know, but to say, to have like these Muslims on the left, these Democrat Muslims, that on one hand they'll say something very intelligent, like it's all about the Benjamins, but in the next breath they're allies to LGBTQ, another Hegelian situation. Damn, we run out of time, Chris. We have to do this more. Please come back anytime you want. And folks, be looking for an interview. We're going to do an in-depth interview on RTR Truth Media, YouTube, and BitChute. So tune in for that and check out Chris's work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.